You know they want staring point, you know we straight to the point. Bull Chris with assists, fast breaks like a joint splitting head. Bull J with the J, we throwing heat, no gas. That's a touchdown pass, you know just how we coming. So it's nothing left to say. Now they hardly can guard me like Dirk fade away. You know just how we coming, so it's nothing left to say. Yeah, you know just how we coming, so it's nothing left to say. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point. They want staring point, you know we straight to the point. They want staring point, you know we straight to the straight to
the. Amy 76 bringing us into episode number 179. I'm straight to the point. My name is Chris. Here are my guys, Jay.
Up. What's going on? What's going on? Special guest of the dog and Chris's background. Yeah, special guest. Special guest. We love to have him.
Listen, I love living in the slums, but let's start talking about where we are in the season at this point. We have Boston as the clear number one in the East, and then there's some shaking that needs to be done that can be done between 2 and 8. The West. You know, there's a couple teams vying for that one. There's one pretty much set matchup that, you know, probably 4 or 5 or 3. You know, there's some ways that things can shake out. So, Jared, talk to me about what you're seeing in both conferences.
The East is a lot more shaken up. That can have a lot more shaking to do than the West, right? The West kind of solidified the top four. Kind of solidified. It ain't changing. You're going to have the Timberwolves, Nuggets, OKC, Clippers, Mavs, right? Or I mean Clippers as your top four. At that point, though, the only thing that could potentially change is just like out of the three teams, Minnesota, Nuggets, and Thunder, one of them were to like lose a game, because there's a game, I believe, that happened today, Nuggets and Timberwolves. If the Timberwolves were to lose, that gives OKC a chance to kind of move up. If Nuggets were to lose, again, OKC has a chance to go up to the 2 spot. OKC beats out, I think, the Magic today. Or are they playing the Spurs? I believe it's the Spurs. They have a chance to move back up again because they're only a half game behind the number one seed. So it's like there's
well, they're as of right now, they're both tied at 55 and 24.
Mm-hmm. OKC, and then there's one game back.
OKC, for OKC. is a game back.
So that the matchup is good for OKC today, that the Timberwolves and Nuggets are playing each other. They get a chance to move up potentially, especially if they get their what should be a very easy win versus the Spurs. But you want those things if you're. I'm talking about for the OKC. You want those things, this matchup for us to win. On the East side, it's fair game anywhere up to this, you know, number two seed, right? Like everybody's about a game or a half game in front of each other. The Sixers just took over the Heat for the 7th seed.
Correct.
You have
the Sixers are a game. The Sixers
are game half what? Game, half game half, back or half game and half back?
Half game up on Miami.
Half game over Miami, a game back from the Pacers.
Full game back on the Pacers. Game and a half back from Orlando and Cleveland.
Personally, for me, I think I've mentioned it. I wouldn't be mad if the Sixers stay 7th seed. I see why you wouldn't want to be in the play-in, so the 6th seed is within reason. It's within right, actually, if you want to.
Yeah, but so here's my concern, obviously, with any team in the play-in. Yeah, it's one game win and you're 7.
Yep.
Or if you lose again, you have to win to be 8. Mm-hmm. Problem is, I don't want to be in a situation where 2 games and then you out. You see what I'm saying? I call it pessimism, call it whatever you want. I don't want this team in that situation.
Not Which is fair because you're playing the Heat, you're essentially, playing the for heat, that one
And
game.
Then you're playing, more than likely, a very hot Atlanta team that – they have now they're back in the question of, can this Trey and DeJounte thing work? I don't think so, but it looks like they're hitching their wagon to DeJounte Murray instead.
They're going to kind of have to now because they've seen enough of like Trey throughout the season. DeJounte's been carrying them now that he's been out these past 15 games where they're back in the playing spot. Trey's more than likely the odd man out because it's not in the market for DeJounte. It's not there. Let's be for real.
And so with that being said, you're taking on a hot Atlanta team. Or, I mean, if it's Chicago, then whatever. But
well, that's a dub. I'm just going to be honest.
Whoever. I'm not playing. I'm not even saying for as far as the Sixers go. I'm saying for any team. If it was Miami, I wouldn't want to be in a 7-8. If I was Indiana, I wouldn't want to be in a 7-8. Now, if I'm Indiana and I were to happen to fall to 7-8 and I were 7 and Milwaukee just so happened to be 2, I don't think I'm complaining. So if you're Indiana, you want to see if maybe you can get that first matchup in the first round against a team that you've beaten quite a few times this season in Milwaukee, and y'all got beef. I mean, it's on site. We don't know the status of Giannis.
That playing was crazy, obviously. And then, we know enough that Giannis didn't tear or break anything, so now it's just like, how does he recover from the calf strain? Which, again, now for the Sixers, I wouldn't be mad playing the Bucks either if Giannis isn't going to be ready until he's game two or game three.
Not even the Sixers. If you're Cleveland, if you're Orlando, if you're any team in the East.
I don't think a lot of teams fear Milwaukee right now.
I don't think teams fear Milwaukee with no Giannis, especially without Giannis.
I don't even think they
fear. That's pretty much Portland.
Without Giannis, definitely. But I don't even think we really fear him with Giannis this season. Like, this season has been one of the most.
Well, I think you have to respect that team.
Respect Giannis. And fear is different, though. You can respect the team and say, oh, yeah, you guys are still going to, like, give us some games. But fear means, like, man, I don't want to see you at all. And I don't think no team is, like, the way teams are still seeing Boston, even though Boston just got spanked last night, they're still like, I don't want to play Boston in the playoffs right now, in the first round, because they just don't want to. Whereas you'd rather play a Milwaukee in downward, right? Like, you'd rather play the Bucks with Doc as the coach, with them still not cohesive when it comes to that starting lineup in the bench.
That's so funny to me that Doc is seen as a negative.
It's not even that funny no more, though. It's just like a fact. It's a fact.
Negative.
It's because when the playoffs come, the adjustments just aren't there. The bench depth of that team just hasn't sparked a new life to them because, again, you gave up a lot for Dame. You never really recouped that. They brought in Gallinari. He's not getting really any minutes. Pat Bev's been a good plus-minus guy, but you don't know what he's going to be like in the playoffs when teams start to really, really, like, sag off or play differently, give a little bit more intensity. You don't know how Brook Lopez is coming in. Like, your best player off the bench is Bobby Portis. Which is fine, but that's one guy. If they're running an 8-man, 9-man rotation, they're pretty much done.
And that's pretty much not what Doc does. Doc is pretty much a 7-8 guy.
That's another flaw now. When I've been talking about it for years, that team's going 9-10.
Can I put something out there? Was Daryl Morey acquiring campaign? Everybody hated it at the time. He pretty much took Milwaukee's backup point guard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that you swap the backup point for a backup point.
You swap, but like,
you just got a more effective shooter for the Sixers, yeah, and then the Bucks got a better defender.
They got a better defender, but I don't think they're. If you really ask me, if Dame wasn't on the floor, who's handling the ball for Milwaukee?
Chris Middleton.
So
yeah, it's not going to be Pat Bev, really. It's
not going to be Pat Bev. Pat Bev's not handling the ball.
Like, it's Giannis and Chris Middleton.
But no Maxey, no Lowry. Who's handling the ball is campaign.
I'd much rather campaign than, like, let's say Tobias Harris or Nick Batum. I'd much rather that.
Yeah, I mean, and Batum, I give Batum a somewhat of a pass because he's 1,000 in his knees. I'm shocked he's still playing, but Tobias is a lost cause. Like, let's not even go there. Yeah, but if you look at the teams in the East, and we're talking about the Sixers in the grand scheme of the Eastern Conference playoffs, I mean, what's the degree of separation between Cleveland and Miami? You know what I'm saying?
Like, let's be real, Chris. This Eastern Conference, it ain't much of a difference to any team.
Orlando's in the mix, but I don't know.
They're young. You're all in on Magic, but they're young.
That's the same thing we say about OKC, but they're there. Maybe because hold on.
OKC has playoff experience though.
Who?
Shai and Dort have been there.
Okay,
versus.
Hold on. Okay, Dort was there in the bubble, but Dort isn't your one.
Shai's been there.
He ain't your one. He ain't your two or your three. Honestly,
Shai's been there. Shai got that experience. He got that mentorship from Chris Paul. He's there. He's ready.
Okay, yeah, but it's different from doing. He hasn't done it yet. He didn't go that. He hasn't had that run that the MVP level guys have had. And to be fair, neither has Embiid. I know it's somebody.
No.
He hasn't. Okay, he hasn't. But you look at the upper echelon of guys, like, they got to take that leap. So SGA hasn't done it yet. No reason to believe that they have. But young teams in the mix, I got to believe that there's something there. I think there's something there with Orlando. I know that there's something there with OKC. But look at the team. Like, I remember last year we did our predictions, and I said New Orleans would be best team in the West. They had Zion and Ingram and McCollum and et cetera. But they never took that jump like OKC did.
They couldn't. Remember, Zion was hurt.
Dallas just now took the jump this year, and they're 5.
Yeah, but Dallas' jump was like it's again night and day.
Look at Dallas. Look at what Dallas was last year at the end of the season.
Injuries derailed them. They weren't there.
You know, they weren't there.
Trade late season to get Kyrie, and you're trying to play catch up now. They just weren't. There's no coincidence.
Sacramento's taking a bit of a step back this year.
Which I called, by the way. Literally said they're not having the Cinderella effect again.
But they're still in the mix.
Are they?
They're kind of.
You got the win in the Timberwolves. That has been announced that Towns should be coming back for the playoffs first round. Are they really in the mix? Are they a team that can beat out that Timberwolves team right now?
Would you be surprised if that series went 6?
No, I'd be surprised if it went 7, but 6 now.
Okay. If it went 6... every game was close and competitive. Would you be surprised?
Yeah, a little bit because
I don't see any blowout.
Watching this Kings game. No, I've seen watching the Kings, man. There's been some games where they struggle.
But here's the thing about the Kings: they are your class. They have the Boston syndrome.
Yep,
they're going to take a bunch of threes,
and if they're hitting them, they're good.
If they making them, they in it, and if they not.
Which is why I'm like, that's why I'm thinking, like, if it's close the entire series, then yeah, they've had a great
season. The thing that they got that Minnesota doesn't, I mean, I guess Minnesota does, but they have it in different ways. I always, Gobert is the defensive big, Towns is the offensive big.
Mm-hmm.
Sabonis for the Kings can take, I mean, I think he can do decent damage against Gobert. If you're asking him to go guard Towns, like, who's going to guard Towns for Sacramento?
Provided
Cat is healthy.
Even if Cat is healthy, you can throw either one of them stretches on him because let's be for real, Cat's not backing the basket.
He's not backing nobody down.
That's not his game. Like he's not doing that.
That's why I think you can leave the door open for Sacramento. It's because Minnesota isn't going to take advantage of Sacramento's lack of size in the interior. Because it's just Sabonis. But you're not going to get the ball to Gobert in the paint. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not doing
this. This is a lob or – nah, not – this is a lob. That's about it.
Okay, this is a lob. Now, I'm not saying Gobert can't score. He's shown more offensive game in Minnesota than he ever did in Utah.
Which is fine. That's fine.
But the problem always has been if you're playing in the half court with Minnesota, can you play with Gobert and Towns at the same time?
Especially when playoffs come.
And they're so dependent. Like, I know Anthony Edwards is a very good guard. I'm not disputing that. But outside of Anthony Edwards, no one from their guard position scares you offensively. Now, if Mike Conley beats you, Mike Conley beats you. Like
that's fine. Honestly, yeah, because if Mike Conley gives you 15, I'm like, okay,
outside of Edwards and Towns, provided Towns is healthy, you're relying on Nasri, McDaniels. You know, you're relying on Alexander Walker. You're relying on guys that's like, all right, if they beat you, then they go ahead. You would not be upset if those guys beat you.
I mean, it's there. I've always been out on Minnesota. I'm not locked in with them either. I don't think they're going past second round.
If you ask me, could Sacramento beat them? Yeah, I could probably make an argument that any team in the West could beat Minnesota. Because I'm not.
If the Lakers get the eighth seed spot, I think the Lakers can beat them in the first round.
I agree.
I'll be honest with you.
I agree.
If the Suns fall in the eighth seed spot, I think the Suns can still beat them. And that's like the matchup I really want to see.
I agree. Suns Timberwolves. I think the Suns Timberwolves might be a little. I lean more Timberwolves than I did. Like if it's Lakers Timberwolves, I'd kind of lean toward Lakers. If it's Kings Timberwolves, I lean Timberwolves, but I don't lean. You know, like it's more.
Yeah, I'm there with you.
More
we locked in on that one. I'm with you on either of that. Now, Warriors, I think are out. I'm be honest with you. I think the Warriors are out.
Now, Warriors are out. But if here's comes back to my playing thing, they just need 2 games to be hot.
I just want to say it's really disgusting. It's really disgusting, Chris. The West 1 through 10, it's really nasty. like really nasty. If you look
okay,
at the record.
I had an argument with someone about the play-in, and this person was anti-play-in, right? Because their reason was Bulls and Hawks shouldn't even be close, shouldn't be sniffing the playoffs, right?
Which is fine because they're two of the slightly less worst teams in the league records.
And his argument was they toil around in average land all year,
which is fine.
And then they get a shot at the playoffs. Okay, and I was like, okay, true.
Yeah,
Lakers and Warriors do the same thing,
but they do it with a winning record.
I don't care. They do the same thing.
You can't even be mad at them.
Okay. It's okay. What? At any point in time, has the Lakers? When's the last time Lakers been above six?
Christmas.
When was the last time Golden State was above six?
Christmas.
Were they? Okay, Christmas.
I'm gonna say both were Christmas. They were around like they were fighting for the title.
Let's give or take a week, and let's say New Year's. So for the past three and a half months,
they win.
They've been a 7-10 team.
But think about it this way. They're 45-35, 44-34. They're a 9-10 seed. In the East, that's a 7-8 seed. I'm all for the point if that's the case. Because, again, it's going to be a shakeup in the NBA.
It's not really that much. I mean, okay, 9-10 and 7-8 is the same thing if you're in the play-in.
At this point, it is. But
that's the thing.
That makes the play-in worth it because look at these two teams that both have winning records that might not have made the playoffs at all or even had a shot at the playoffs, and they have winning records. Like, you're a 10 seed with a 44-35 record.
Don't be a 10 seed. Don't be a 10 seed.
It's hard. It's hard to say that when your conference is so tough. It's hard. Again, it goes back to the conference conversation.
Be a better team.
And then this is the thing that they're probably going to shake up the NBA soon when they talk about, like, you know, teams are going to start getting – or one particular team is going to get moved to the East. It's going to free up some things. They're trying to, you know, bring in another NBA team regardless.
So who's this team that's moving to the East?
Potentially the Pelicans. There's a chance the Pelicans might end up coming to the East. You know, they're closer to the Bulls and Heat anyway. If you really think about it, they should have already been in the Eastern Conference.
Wait. Bulls and Heat. That's two totally geographical.
No, not the Heat. Is it the Heat? The Heat in – where's New Orleans on the mat? They're closer to somebody. South. They're closer to somebody. Not the Bulls. They're closer to somebody. They're closer to Texas. They're closer to be able to be an Eastern Conference team. That's what they're close to. They're closer to Atlanta, which is fine. It's easy to travel.
Okay. Geography question. How far is Atlanta from New Orleans than Dallas is from New Orleans or Houston?
I'm fine. Again, three teams that should be on the radar to get moved potentially would be like, Minnesota, New Orleans, which is all. I'd move any of them, but that clears up the spot.
I mean, Memphis, honestly, probably should be the first team to move.
They should be the first team to move.
I mean, Memphis makes the most
sense. I think Memphis and New Orleans are the first team that should be moved.
Like, I know we just kind of got into an expansion.
But that's because it's the rumors that have been happening that they're going to particularly talk about this offseason. You know, like, what team do we move? The expansion is going to start coming. They want to get a Vegas team. They want to get a Seattle team. Like, how do we start doing this, structuring this for the coming years? Not saying it's going to be immediately next season. That's just ludicrous, but what teams can get moved over, what teams can stay, right? It's easy to move these South mid-region teams that are in the West but really should be in the East than it is to, like, you know, move Eastern Conference teams. This is not happening.
Yeah, you're not moving none of the Eastern Conference.
And it's like, but when you start doing that shakeup, the play-in really comes into effect then because now, like, teams could go, like, let's like say you add a Memphis or even a New Orleans to the Eastern Conference, Chris, Chicago and the Hawks are gone. They're going, right? Like, they're how you're talking about, and this is it.
Wait, what?
They're going as in they're not a playing team no more. Some playoffs teams might get kicked out too, but this is the Eastern Conference got a little bit stronger.
So you're saying, like, get rid of Chicago. Yeah, but this also goes back to my point of.
But it goes to that argument, though. The losing records in the East that are 9-10.
Okay, so what? Records in the West. What West teams benefit from this?
Warriors would benefit if they keep this Warriors like, going on, for another man. 5 years.
Like I get,
Utah
I get,
would definitely benefit.
I get who the Warriors are, and I know I shouldn't.
Memphis would benefit. Like there's a lot of teams that would benefit. Here
with Memphis. Memphis stinks.
We can't say they stink because they miss. They've had legit.
When John
every
Morant,
one of their guys have missed games the entire
when John
season.
John Morant comes back, call me. But until then, I'm not watching.
When Ja comes back, next season, which he should. They're going to be back to a competitive team again. Look what happened when Ja did come back this season before the injury. Yeah, they were a 9-2 team.
6-0.
So, like, yeah, this is a team that they benefit greatly if they either get moved to the East or if they stay in the West and the Pelicans get moved. Because we're talking about the Pelicans are taking up a chunk of wins at 47-32 in the Western Conference. They're taking up a chunk.
Right, so there's always been a – and I was watching a podcast. I can't remember who said it. I would say who said it, but I can't remember. They were talking about East Coast teams, West Coast teams. You know, the style of play is different.
Yeah.
Everything, the cultures are different. The fans are different. You know,
yeah. It's different environment, different weather.
Imagine taking a team that, because we in the example, we're playing Memphis. We're talking about Memphis. All of a sudden, now Memphis in the East.
Well, they're getting to the gritty, the dirty work. They're going to be a dominant team.
Are they going to be the grit and grind Memphis team?
Yeah. They're going to be that same grit and grind Memphis team.
But that grit and grind Memphis team
would work out really well in the East.
That's East Coast ball. Like,
that'd work out really good. Like, it doesn't even correlate to the West Coast. Because, like, think about, like, how their shooters aren't really shooters, but they can get hot, right? That's East Coast stuff. They really more of a, oh, I'm taking you to the basket type of team. We're locking in defense. We're only giving you 98 points in a game. Like, and then you're going to only get, like, 100 or 102. Like, that's it.
Do you know who has the most rock fights per capita? The East Coast.
Yeah.
All rock fights.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bad. Look at the offensive teams in the East.
Just think about it this way, Chris.
Milwaukee beat the
Celtics last night, 104-91 in a blowout.
Look at all the free wins that Memphis would have if they were in Washington.
But that's what I'm just saying. Like, Charlotte. It's night and day, Chris. Like, think about that game I just mentioned, Bucks-Celtics, 104-91 was considered a blowout. Clippers killed the Suns in, like, a West Coast 3 style of just straight destruction. Just straight destruction. And it's a totally different blowout factor when West teams play East teams, East teams play East teams in, like, blowouts. It's a totally different structure. East teams blow you out back to the basket. Well, that's a little pause. Whoa. What happened there? Whoa. But
this segment is brought to you. No, I'm just playing.
But that's just like
I was definitely about to get a suit right then and there.
Just like boom, just pin drop there. But like, East teams when they're winning, right?
I'm not
a lot of the time. They're a lot of the I win. I wouldn't want you to. A lot of the times, their wins that are like a high margin still are a lot more effective from the two to inside the paint and maybe a couple threes. Where the West, they're just killing you from the 3-point line.
I think I kind of get what you're saying. I don't fully agree to that extent, because you see a lot more. There's some real terrible teams in the West.
But that's fine. But if you look up some of the most 3-point shooting teams in the league, Boston's up there, right? But then it's a lot of West teams in the top five. I think actually it might all be West teams in Boston in the top five. Boston's the only Eastern Conference team. And then you have Mavs, Warriors, Clippers, Suns, or whoever else. It ain't another East team
them
yet.
Them teams take 18,000 threes a game.
I mean, and that's fair because you look at the personnel. Luka might be averaging 8.5 threes a game.
Himself.
And I'm not saying making. He's just attempting them. So, yeah, that comes to how now you move Memphis over. Ja game expands a little bit more because now he's like, oh, hey, I don't have to worry about – he gets to hide a little bit for the fact that he's not a great shooter because now you're playing teams that don't shoot as well as you either. Mm-hmm. And then now it's like – It's a more competitive conference where the East is competitive. It just gets a little bit more competitive where we don't have to have those lackluster conversations anymore saying, man, this 9 team got 36 and 50 losses. Like, what's going on? We don't have to have those arguments anymore. Now teams either got to wake up or you got to get kicked.
We're going to wait till it happened in the West and nobody's going to say a word. Watch.
We keep saying wait. But how many more years are we? Because this is the same thing I've heard.
It'll
years.
End up.
Wait till it happens in the West. Wait till it happens. It's been damn near 2 decades.
Here's the thing. If you look at record wise, for the most part, they shake out the same, right? We did this exercise a couple weeks ago. Two more bad teams in the East than there are in the West, right?
About three, but yeah, you kept saying two. We said 3-4, but we let it slide. We'll let it slide.
Okay, I gave you Detroit. Mm-hmm. I gave you Washington. I gave you Charlotte.
That's three.
I gave you Brooklyn.
That's four. That's four.
In the West, you got San Antonio,
It's one.
Portland.
That's two.
Memphis.
That can't count Memphis.
Why can't you count Memphis?
Memphis had one bad year due to injuries. They're a winning team.
When I'm talking about right now.
Okay. Right now, there. You got it. I thought we'd talk about, again, what we said when it happens. Like
in Utah. And Utah stinks too.
Yeah, but Utah's doing better than the four.
Okay, whatever. You like Lauri Markkanen, whatever. They're a step above the terrible teams, but they're not good.
Fair. Okay. They're missing something.
So if you want, if you want to argue me, I'll give you that they may be in the Atlanta, Chicago range.
They are, because I can't even throw the Rockets as in a bad team anymore. Like, can't do it.
They're not good,
but they're competitive and they play better than the bottom fours of the East and in the East.
I'm in the West too. Like they're
like if you throw the Rockets right now, they're in the play instead of the Bulls and actually the Hawks. They're in the play.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I give you the fact that I'm not saying that the teams in the West or in the East are better than the teams in the West. I'm not saying people make it seem like there's this wide gap between the teams in the East and the teams in the West. And I'm saying there's a gap, but it's not the Grand Canyon, is my point.
No, and that's fair. I don't think we argued that against it. We're just like, man, you selectively skip the certain.
But my point was that the worst teams in the East, there's one more terrible team in the East than there are in the West, and we just did the exercise.
Yes, and it's kind of gross because if you like, right, look at it, dude. Even the Spurs got 20 wins. Like,
okay,
yeah, why are there three teams in the East that can't get a 20th win?
Spurs got 20 wins. Okay, cool. Spurs also have Wembanyama. Those teams in the East have no personnel.
None. Okay, so then let me just throw this out there.
Like, who's the best player?
The Trailblazers got 21 wins. I got your face up there. You like, what the hell?
Trailblazers
got 8. Oh, stop it, bro.
When he decides to show up to work.
Stop it, bro.
Who do any of these teams in the East got?
Man, let's be for real. The Pistons got Cade, Jalen Duren. Who was that other young man? I like him too.
Pause.
Sure. Ivy. I like Ivy's very good at basketball.
Listen, I was there yesterday. I watched Detroit play the Sixers.
I'm just saying, Chris, hey now, you know who the Wizards got. You know who they paid for. They got Jordan Poole, former
bad
champion.
Investment. Bad
Kyle
investment.
Kuzma.
Kuzma. Good. Who else? Corey Kispert?
Nah, he's a shooter. I wouldn't really say right. Drake. Corey Kuzma reminds me of Bertans so much.
Okay. Miles Bridges.
I like Brandon Miller, though. Brandon Miller's had a very solid
LaMelo year. When he's healthy.
They'd have 20 wins if LaMelo's back. Okay. If he was playing this season, they'd have more than 20 wins.
Brooklyn, I don't know. I thought it was Bridges, but maybe was that an aberration?
Had to have been an aberration. This is the side note. This is what we talked about when you mentioned last week with Mike on the pod, Jordan Love, right? Is it an aberration or is Jordan Love really this? Like, is he going to do it this season? Is he going to continue that streak?
Like, did he just get hot?
That was Mikal Bridges. Did he get hot because he got traded? The emotions for flaring. He was talking this talk.
He was hot for a half season.
But as you should be, your team just got removed you for Kevin Durant and they wasn't doing much better, right? They weren't doing much. Right. And now you just like, you already taken out an entire league. That means every team you got to take it out, not just the one, every team. He did that. Now he's back this season. That's the Jordan Love conversation, right? Going into that, yeah, Nets don't know what they're doing. The Raptors, they shaky as well. They real shaky. I don't know where they're going.
I think they finally picked a direction. They got rid of Siakam. They're going to build around Barnes. Barnes then gets hurt.
Which is fine, yeah. But then you're building around Barnes, bringing in another wing, RJ Barrett, who's like, they almost the same player again. It's like.
But I think Barrett is more willing to defer and shoot versus trying to be in the paint and clog around and
that's fine.
Do the things that Siakam was trying to do. I think Siakam fits better where he is in Indiana. I think
that's a good fit. It's going to work.
So if you're Toronto, at least Toronto has a direction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or they're going to. They got a facade of a direction.
Those other East teams.
Oh, they're done. We don't know.
No personnel.
I don't understand.
At least San Antonio got Wembanyama hang their head on.
Well, because you know what you want to build around Wembanyama.
Hang their head on and hold their head up with Wembanyama.
Yeah, because you know you want to build around Wemby. And you, all you need now, you know what you need. You know you want to keep Vassell. You might want to get rid of Keldon. We've established who that starting Cougar guard is. You just got to bring in a premier point guard. That's what you need.
I hope Trae Young likes the houses in San Antonio.
I mean, Chris, I mean, who wouldn't want to? I mean, that ain't a bad spot to live in. It ain't a bad spot to want to play. You got a chance to really do something and shake something up in that conference, too, if you get Trae Young and with Wembanyama. It's not like it's.
Would they be an 8-seed threat?
They'd be a 10th seed. They'd be a fight for the 10th seed. And I say a fight, like a real good dog fight for the 10th seed. Like the way the Rockets were just trying to fight the Warriors for the 10th seed, they'd be like in that conversation.
What would elevate them higher?
What would elevate the Spurs higher for me if they made the greatest blockbuster in the NBA offseason, they get Trae Young and sign Brandon Ingram. They're now in the 7th and to 10th team for the first season. And then after that, it's just up to Pop to really like get them to jail, and they could be a top seed in the conference for the next year or two afterwards, the first year, right? Because what are they missing?
I haven't really considered Ingram to the Spurs.
But what would they be missing? You got Trae Young, Devin Vassell, Ingram. The four is going to be – I don't even care at that point. Wemby, off the bench, you want to keep Keldon, you keep Keldon. You got Jones, who's going to be – again, if your last name Jones, you play for Duke, you're going to be a good role-playing point guard. You're going to be a good role-playing point guard.
Listen, there's three families – I mean, there's two families that got – all their kids through Duke. The Plumleys and the Joneses.
They last through the NBA. They play solid basketball. They know their role. They understand it. They were taught the fundamentals of how to keep a job in the NBA. You got it. Like that. Like the Spurs, they make that type of blockbuster situation. Chris, I wouldn't fathom them. Me saying, oh yeah, man, this is an 8th to 10th seed team the first year. The first year. And then after that, I think the skies could be the potential limit. Truly. I truly do. And I said Ingram because I think he's most likely. Because I know PG, whatever PG going on, he's using any team that has his name on it with the rumor to get leverage for the Clippers to pay him. That's what he's doing. Like I think we see it.
Hey, Clippers, I'll go back to Indiana. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to Philly. The way LeBron said, I'm coming to Philly. Paul George took a play out of his book. I'm going to Philly.
I remember when people convinced themselves that Bron was coming to Philly. It was like, yeah, we saw Bron bringing his son to Lower Marion High School. Like, yeah, okay.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah, like, come on. So, yeah, I can see that. And then that changed the whole conversation for the Spurs. Playing in the East, just to end the conversation, right? The play in the East, it's going to be real. I think their games are going to be slightly closer and better than the playing games in the West. I think, like, unless, like you mentioned earlier, if the Warriors get hot, oh, man, it's over. Like, just wave now, it's over. They get hot from the three, they good.
You know what the funniest part is? I feel like Lakers-Warriors has been the playing game for, like, the last...
Yeah, since Christmas. They play each other at Christmas, and then since Christmas been the same two.
Whatever year it was that Bron said he saw three rims and shot to the middle one. What, that was a play-in game.
Yeah. Was that versus the Warriors?
Yeah, it was versus the Warriors.
Yeah, and then the Warriors the Warriors beat them, though. Because that's how the... No. That wasn't play-in
game. Lakers won.
Because the Warriors ended with the 6th seed to play the Kings. Remember?
Okay, what year...
I think you're right.
Over Curry.
No, let me see. I just look at the season.
I think it's been ever since the play-in has been. There's been.
I look at the season from last year. No, Warriors did get the 60 last year.
So they played the Kings.
It was Lakers T Wolves last year, and that's what he probably saw. Lakers T Wolves last year.
So the year before that was Lakers Warriors.
The year before that, no, Lakers didn't make the playoffs at all.
So, they won in 20.
Yeah, Lakers didn't make the playoffs. 21-22, Lakers didn't make the playoffs at all. They were 33-49. They weren't saying nothing.
The year after that was...
There's no plan in 2020.
No, the year after 21.
The year after 21. Oh, the 22-22 season.
22-23.
So that was last year. Lakers-Wolves. And then that's probably what you're talking about.
So what game was it that Bron said he saw three rims? Was that Lakers-Wolves?
Lakers-Wolves. That was Lakers-Wolves game. And then they beat out the Wolves. And in that game, they beat the Wolves out to get the 7th seed spot to play the Grizzlies. And then the Wolves played Nuggets first round. And that's when we were shocked that the Wolves were even going to be in a dogfight versus the Nuggets, which might have been the Nuggets' best series throughout that playoffs, to be honest.
Okay. All right. You're right.
Hey, this has been in the making, though. Like, this entire season, Lakers-Warriors has been in the making.
to continue your point, is there a team that you see drastically moving their playoff seeding in this last week?
A team?
Up, down, wherever. Like, they're in this spot now that I think they're going to be in, you know.
No, honestly, I think everybody's where they're at. I'm going to be completely honest. I think it's set. It's a lot of speculation that it's not set. I think the West is set for sure. I think the East is set as well. I think the 6th or 7th, Heat 8th, 9, 10 is, come on, we know that. And then you're going to see the Heat versus Sixers in that first playing game. I think the Sixers win, and they're going to play the Bucks in the first round. I just have a feeling that's what's going to happen, which is why I've been talking about it, saying I don't think a lot of teams fear the Bucks. I think the Sixers have a legit shot. It ain't great. It ain't high, but they have a legit shot.
Did you just immediately admit to yourself that you are only doing this to convince yourself the Sixers have a shot?
No, because at the end of the day, I'm just there to watch good basketball regardless. The Sixers' shot was long gone when Embiid went down. When he played through an injury that he probably should never play through, then played on it again and hurt himself in the Warriors game, the Sixers' chances were gone. And why were they gone? Because we were having one of the most fun seasons I've watched in a while. Because I don't know if you feel the same, but I was watching this season after the Harden trade, and we were like, man, this is going to be a snooze fest. And I'm like, I'm seeing ball movement I've never seen before. I'm seeing shots hit the rim going in. I'm seeing lobs getting thrown. I'm like, whoa. I'm watching games down to the wire. And I'm like, I was watching good basketball from the Sixers that I was like, man, I ain't seen. I was actually enjoying watching Tobias play for a little bit early into the season going to Christmas, where I'm like, hey, this guy's not bad as a fourth option, because Kelly Oubre was, in my opinion, was a third. I was watching. I was enjoying it. And I swear I can fact check. You said, y'all, I've enjoyed watching this basketball. I swear I can fact check it. I got to check the text messages. I've seen you say it.
I'm sure I did. I was enjoying it. And then, of course, everything
came back to surface.
In typical fashion, comes back down to surface, and you prepare yourself for what you're going to see, that mm-hmm. endless disappointment.
Yep.
Being a Sixers fan, you have fun with that. I know how this movie ends.
And then a new movie has just started. Breaking news as we're recording. Boston Celtics guard Jrue Holiday has agreed on a 4-year, $135 million contract extension as we speak. Right before the playoffs. Look at him get his money. Get the bag. He's a Boston Celtic now. He's there.
Hope you don't stink it up, Jrue. They're going to trade you.
Nah, man. They're not going to.
If they flame out, they got to blow it up.
Like, if they're this is a finals and bust team, right? Like, they can't be a conference and bust team. This is a finals and bust team, right?
No, they are a NBA finals or bust team at this point. They still got all the financial issues that we talked about.
All five are in the contract for, like, a long time, for the long term, right? Like, all five of their starters.
Did Jaylen Brown sign?
Got the extension last season. Porzingis got an extension. Porzingis got a contract. Derek White, I think, he might not have a contract extension.
I'm going to say Derek White might not.
Tatum should be up this season or next season for another contract extension.
But that's that was my point. How are they going to pay Jaylen Brown $300 million and turn around and pay Tatum, what, $350?
So right now, locked up, Jrue Holiday's deal is going to start showcasing. It hasn't came out yet, but Derek White's done after next season. Like, he doesn't have any – he doesn't have any more money after next season. Like, he's his last year is between 24-25. Same with Al Horford. Kristaps Porzingis is locked in until 2025. Jason Tatum has an option for 2025, but his last year would technically be next year if he doesn't want to opt into that $37 million, which I doubt he would. Peyton Pritchard's locked in until 2027. Jrue Holiday's now locked in until 2027, 2028. Jaylen Brown, you know, is locked in. So, yeah, okay.
It's not as bad.
It's not as bad as I thought, because after next year, this entire team is going to get blown up or restructured. Like, they might even bring Hal Horford back next season. Like, let's be realistic. He might not come back. Derek White is probably going to get a contract extension, and so is Jason Tatum. But
Hal Horford's like 1,000, man. Hang it up, please.
Like, Xavier Tillman's not signed after this season. Sam Hauser has another year left. Jordan Walsh has, like, 4 years left, but it's no money there. Luke Kornet, this was his only year signed. O'Shea Brissett has an option. Who knows if he picks it up? Jaden Springer's locked in. So they'll have about 7 guys locked into the season next year, but they're like the 5, Will Horford 6, Pritchard 7, Springer 8. nine. Hauser and Walsh. They have nine guys locked into season. I mean, do you want to keep a Hauser and Walsh? Do you consider those like in an IMA rotation?
Do you care? Like after Holiday, do you? After Horford.
After Horford, do you care? I mean, now Pritchard's been having a
whatever.
Why did we choose Zencastr? Because it was a perfect fit. Zencastr allowed us to be able to record, download our audio and video without hassle. It's a platform that supported us as a growing podcast and still supports us now, knowing that we're trying to build and grow something. Being a part of Zencastr was just great for us, knowing that we're in two different locations but are able to record like we're in the same room. And it's so easy. It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. All you gotta do is log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen, knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried about what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording, and it removes those awkward pauses in the conversation as well. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. Go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use our code STTP podcast, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experience as we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.
Let's talk about somebody who's better than Peyton Pritchard
and T.J. McConnell.
Harris and T.J. McConnell. Let's talk about Caitlin Clark, man.
Hey now. A bucket.
What you think?
Number one pick in the NBA.
What we thinking?
Number one pick in the NBA. Hands down. All right. Easily.
So Indiana now I've been seeing a lot of the, you know, the I know ball crowd, you know.
Sure.
And they're talking about how Caitlin Clark, some of the older NBA or WNBA established stars are kind of like, she's going to, you know, she has to kind of earn her stripes and saying the things that, you know, and it's all well and fine. You know, the rookie has to prove herself, blah, 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 next level. The same thing we say about, you know, NFL quarterbacks, for example, right? We say the same cliches. You can't expect them to translate, blah, 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 blah. So there's a argument that has kind of percolated online about how WNBA players should be more welcoming, should be more, they should all hitch their wagon to Caitlin Clark to better the, you know, better for everyone, right? So where do you fall on that stance? Because on one side, I could see the argument be, let's see how she pans out, But women's basketball seems to be in this, it's in vogue, you know what I mean? Like, it's cool to talk about women's ball. It's cool.
Yeah, it's rising.
You know what I'm saying? It's rising.
Which is good for them.
So where do you think it should be? Where should the attitudes fall?
About Caitlin Clark and how she's going to come into the league? Obviously I've already said number one pick, hands down, unquestionable. I think she's going to be rookie of the year. Do I think she's going to have her rookie struggle? Sure. Teams are going to come at her aggressively. Look what she's been doing throughout her collegiate career, right? They're going to come out at her and be like, yeah, a lot of these shots you're taking, you're not going to be getting these off and stuff like that. And that's where I beg to differ, because like at the end of the day, she's taking like WNBA style shots, right? Like, she's doing things that most girls that at her age, at her position, the other like probably top prospect picks, but you have to have that level of pedigree to really already start taking these shots in college games, right? You're not no hesitation. Like, she took almost 20 threes versus LSU. Like, yeah, there's going to be a dip in production a little bit because, again, you're not the face of a team anymore, even though she probably will be for the Indiana Fever. You're not the face right away. You're a rookie, so everybody's going to come at you, like everybody, Kelsey Plums, all of them. They're going to come at you, Breonna Stewart. They're all going to come at you like they came at Breonna Stewart, right? Like, they're going to go at you and try and dig deep at you and try and test you. See if you're really all about the WNBA. Like, if you're all about this hoop in life and you're just not somebody that's been like just a great collegiate player, but she's going to be fine, I think. I think at the end of the day, they're saying all this now, they're trying to temper expectations. That's what I really think it is, because there's been so much hype, right? Like, this is the most watched collegiate women's. This is the most hype watch we've seen for WNBA. They're trying to get a lot of stuff for the new TV deal. And I think it's good that Caitlin's going in. I think it's good that we're going to be able to see Angel Reese go in. Like, it's going to be really good for them when they're trying to fight for this TV deal. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think she's going to be the non-Hooper, the Hooper saying, oh, yeah, she can go like MVP in her first year. That's not realistic. It's not.
I wouldn't say it's not realistic. We have to just wait and see. I think she has great skill sets. I think she's a very good shooter. But as in the NBA, we don't always see the best shooters win all the time. Now, it's a very recent phenomenon with Steph.
Yeah.
You know, because your shooting teams for the longest time couldn't win in the NBA. But the thing is about the WNBA is a lot of the game is still inside out.
Uh-huh.
There is very few perimeter threats as there are in the NBA, and that's not a sexist thing. That's the game. Their game is played back to the basket post, motion and cuts. You know, they're very reliant on angles and things of that nature, right? So the game is just different. And can she make an impact by spacing the floor in a WNBA setting? Yes, easily, because you have to kind of play her more further out. I think South Carolina did a good job by neutralizing her, and that goes back to the greatness of Dawn Staley.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to the greatness of South Carolina as a whole. They play as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like every cog is moving. Things are, you know, they communicate well, and that's good coaching. Those are hallmarks of, you know, good teams. Usually are the ones that are well coached and prepared. They were well coached and prepared. LSU, you saw early in the tournament, wasn't prepared, didn't adjust. That falls on coaching. You know, that falls on
coaching and personnel. When the you gotta make it.
She adjusted too late. You know, so you look at the women's game. I think the women's game is going to continue to grow, but I think there's always going to be this divide, and I think it happens with polarizing athletes all the time. When you get the media coverage, when ESPN is slurping you, you know what I mean? Like, that's part of the reason, but not that's part of the reason people hate the Cowboys. That's part of the reason people hate Brady. It's part of the reason people.
I mean, think about the conversation for Wemby. Wemby got a lot of like NBA player hate before he even got there, and it's fine. But that's fine.
I get it. I think we need to kind of pump the brakes. And I think that's also why I'm always kind of like, you know, I don't know how things are going to translate, because you can think someone is a can't-miss prospect, and then they flame out.
No, I think Caitlin's going to be fine. Again, you've already mentioned it.
I don't think she's going to flame out.
I think she's going to be a rookie of the year this first year. I think she might do it.
I think she's going to add to the – I think she's going to add to the league. I don't know if she's going to be the face of the WNBA. I don't know that.
Dude, there's always that conversation that you've already just mentioned. The shooting. Look what they just did with Sabrina and Steph, right? You can now, like, throw in a Caitlin and Klay. Like, there's so much. There's, like, more polarizing things you can do.
Caitlin will wash Klay right now. So
but there's more polarizing things you can do. And the only way you can't, like, that's how you get more exposure for WNBA. So I'm all for it. I'm all for how they're talking. Like, again, how they're talking about it is just a pride thing. Like, no, what NBA player is going to say, oh, she's going to come in and dominate? Like, who's saying that? Nobody should. No woman should.
I think you have to come in and you have to see how she plans out, see how things shape.
Yeah, like,
if you call me in 2 years and be like, yo, she the face of the league. All right, cool.
I wouldn't. And then, again, I don't even know, like, I don't know if, like, have this been announced yet, but you got, like, you still have Angel Reese coming in, and I think she's going to be a very good player in the WNBA. Like, you have these girls, these faces that are like, there's hoopers, Aja Wilsons and all them. There's hoopers that are going to be coming out soon. Paige Buchers will be coming out soon.
But I think Angel Reese get a lot of hate. Part of it, it's everything is racial. Okay, don't say nothing's racial.
Absolutely, you know? Come on.
I really like that her attitude reminds me a lot of Draymond.
Oh yeah, she's
and I don't mean that.
She's Draymond Green.
And I don't mean that in a because you know people hear Draymond
Green. I know she does it all. She's gonna be that type of person.
Hyper competitive, hyper emotional.
Yeah,
you have to have the right people around that type of person.
Yeah,
to rein them in, to bring them back. Look at Draymond. They got Steph, a nice guy. Klay getting his bag. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah, Steph was their like mentor, like, you know what I'm saying?
No.
They friend, whatever.
It's Steph.
Iggy was probably their mentor. Iggy reeled Draymond a little bit. Like, Steph and Iggy was reeling Draymond in when they had but to.
Steph can do it because
he's Steph. And that's your guy. Yeah.
But it brings me back to a Jalen Hurts quote when he talked about setting the temperature. Steph seems to set the temperature for the Warriors. They go as he goes, right?
Yeah.
But he's not the one flying off the handle and making the sparks. That's usually Draymond, right? Draymond mm-hmm. is that guy that does that. But you look at teams in look at basketball in general, sports in general, whatever, you can blow it up to whoever you want. Pop for so many years was that guy for the Spurs. He'd go get a tech just to fire the guys up.
He would just go get one just to get one.
He would just get one just to get one.
Just to get one.
Pat Bev has a little bit of that in him. Mm-hmm. A young Doc was like that. Now Doc kind of Doc is a
mean. Doc navigates the league differently now.
But Doc, you know, back when we thought more highly of Doc, he would do the same thing. He'd get it was something to fire up the team if they needed that.
Because remember, they used to have the players that could do it.
She's the type of competitor that you have to be careful. She can get herself. She can cross that line into where it starts to like. Now you're setting some things. Now you kind of like it goes from competitive to like. Now you're annoying. So it's like.
And it's fine again,
from a fan perspective, and I'm it's fine because we all kind of walk that line of.
And then stardom gets to you. The trolling media is different. Like it's different conversation, and then like. Girl's a champion. I'm talking my talk too. Pre-championship, post-championship, it happens. So listen, I'm not against her.
Some people talk trash. Some people don't. But you gotta know. You gotta just be able to. If you're gonna do it, and you gotta be able to receive. You know, you gotta be able to get someone talking trash to you in return without you being in your feelings, you know, or if that what's worked for you and that makes you a better competitor or makes you want to try harder, makes your game better. Okay. Get your feelings. I don't know. Whatever works for you. It's not I'm not that person. You know what I'm saying? So I'm speaking from that perspective. You are a shit talker. I'm not a shit talker.
You're just a hater. See, there's a difference. I talk shit and love you. You hate and continue to hate him.
Who do I hate on?
Man, almost like there's a long list, a long line of things, paraphilia, people, companies. Like this, I can't like foods, drinks, traffic. Like this
paraphilia.
There's like just too many things for me to list. At this point, I can't name everything that you have told me you hate. Have you invented about hating? Have you just recently just hate on? You can't do it. Can't go through it. Just in sports alone, the list has hit the thousands. It hit the thousands at this point. I can't do it. You hate to hate, and you love it. That's the thing. You love to hate. You love hate so much that if you end up getting hate, you're like, how can I respond back to that? That's your first mindset. And and look at you smiling hard. You're like, yeah, that's me. Me, I talk trash. Because I love talking trash when it comes to I can't talk trash about the Sixers. Never
anything. Mind. We suck.
I was about to say when the Sixers win, but we rarely do that. I talk trash for the Eagles. We're a good football team.
I love this we.
I keep forgetting. You're a half a fan.
I'm not the we guy. I'm the they.
You're a half a fan.
To them as they. I am not the we.
Quarter fan, because when they let you down, you're like, I wasn't there with them.
Knew it.
There it is. You're a quarter fan. Keep it going.
When they win, I'm pleasantly surprised. Holler at me when it starts getting hot outside.
Yeah, it's coming soon. You guys had an earthquake, I heard.
I didn't feel it.
Were you asleep?
I was in the car. I didn't feel it.
Oh, man. Well, Philly's baseball is back.
I got home. My neighbor was like, did you feel the earthquake? And I'm like, huh?
There was one? There was one?
What? My phone. People said their phones went off. My phone didn't go off or nothing.
They didn't even notify you that you were in the midst of traffic.
I hit a pothole. I ain't know what's going on.
Knock on wood, bridge could have collapsed. You're just like, oh, no notification. Hell, guys, it's nothing.
If I don't know, how am I supposed to know?
Hey, now at least you knew that UConn basketball is yet again grossly top tier, and I emphasize grossly.
Well, you as a former Connecticut resident.
gross.
Should know about the greatness of the
Canadian. I was there. So, yeah, I was there. I was at the parade. They're going to have another one. It's a good time.
A parade for a team that you called gross.
Well, I lived outside where the parade was at, so why not walk outside and enjoy the parade with the people, with the watching them celebrate their team win, not the, you know, repeat, but they have fun. UConn's a good basketball school. There's no hate for UConn. They're a good basketball school. Like, they don't produce NBA talent. They produce champions. Yeah, they're gross because think about what they do, though. Like, they're gross as in, like, every championship they've been to, never lost. They're gross because they're not really known for making, like, complete NBA guys. Like, they've had, like, what, 4, 5 NBA guys in their history, 2 of which really panned out. After that, though, like, they're a team that's ultra-competitive, and when they bring guys into their program, they're really getting guys that are committing to saying, hey, we want to win a college natty. We're not really – like, yeah, if the NBA comes, there's a potential chance to come, but we want to win a college national championship. That's what we're committed – that's what we're committed to this school. Not a lot of schools have that anymore, Chris. Like, it ain't like that no more. John Calipari just left Kentucky because his school didn't have that I want to win a national championship vibe anymore. It just was, oh, I'm pushing out one and done. And, like, that's kind of, like, the trajectory of, like, NIL and everything that's going.
I'm glad you mentioned Calipari. What's he automatically going to stop doing what he's been doing?
I don't know. Arkansas about to start pushing out what it does.
Give me the, oh, he left because of the no, he left for the bag.
Why would you? Would you not?
Yeah,
Kentucky wasn't going to re-up you.
He had a lifetime contract.
Yeah, but he probably wanted even more money in the lifetime contract.
Like, lifetime option, right?
Yeah, the lifetime option if you come back for the same salary.
This is what happened. Man, Arkansas offering me, you know, blank a year. If y'all want me to stay, y'all going to have to match it. And then they said, okay, John, we're going to talk about it. And they went in that room, closed the door, and they said, nope.
They went, no, Chris. They waited. They went in that room, and they said, let's watch this first round of the NCAA tournament. Did he just lose? Oh, yeah, no, bro. We got to check that N-O on the box saying he wants to get a pay up.
Somebody in the higher ups, somebody on Twitter called him Italian Doc, and they said, we got to get this man out of here immediately.
So, yeah, will Arkansas start pushing that one and done? Absolutely. But they have a chance to – he has a chance to, like, trying to set a new regime for himself, with a new pedigree, saying, hey, I am trying to be competitive-ish in collegiate sports again, not just, you know, be a good name-face team and then lose out. Like, this was their worst tournament in years. In years, this was their worst tournament. And they had, like, players. They had some talent this season. And this is their worst team, so – hey, good for him to get the bag. He's going to restart, start afresh, start anew. UConn's back-to-back. Do you think they three-peat? This early prediction now, you think they three-peat? A lot of the guys are coming back.
I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? Maybe UConn women will get my attention.
Oh, now, hey, Paige Bueckers came. She says she's going back to UConn
real
again.
Real stars, okay? Ain't no stars in the men's game.
You don't like Zach Edey?
You want to talk about not translating to the next level?
Wait, am I wrong to say that Zach Edey reminds me of Ivak Zubac from the Clippers? That's literally if Zubac played college ball, that dude Zubac would be.
Yeah, I guess they look similar.
No, not even their games are the same.
Well, like I said, Zach Edey ain't going to translate. If his comp is Zubac, have fun. Get your degree.
Not to get your degree. Like, you go to NBA, Chris. He coming.
Zubac got bad.
Now. Like, he just got too much star talent around him. Zubac got, you get buckets.
Okay. Thank y'all for listening to another episode of Straight to the Point. If you liked what you hear, make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in. We're still a 5-star rated podcast on iTunes. So if you're listening to there, you know, go ahead and leave us a review. Make sure you follow Straight to the Point on all your favorite socials. That's at SDTP Podcast. Make sure you follow me at _ Chris Cross.
Follow me at _ JW Hughes. Definitely check us out on YouTube. Follow the TikTok at _ JW 205. Man, Chris didn't drop his best today, but listen, I heard sneak peek, Chris going to be dropping some money on Bradley Beal tonight. Lock that in early. That's his guy. It's going to happen, man. He's going to win some money off his favorite player, Bradley Beal.
Please, don't go into that. Don't listen. Bradley Beal, listen, I know I haven't talked about him losing as much because he plays for the Suns, and that's fine. Good for him. However, if you're going to put money on anybody for the Suns, put money on Grayson Allen because he will be chucking threes.
Bradley Beal chucks threes too, Chris. Bradley Beal is your man, man.
You just want me to say something negative about Bradley Beal.
I don't need that. You already hate on Zach Edey. There's not enough more for Bradley Heat. That's a whole segment.
I just told Zach Edey to get his degree. How's that hating?
What? Yo?
He gonna be a career backup in the NBA.
That's not hate what you say right now.
No, listen, he can get a good 5-year career out of that. But what about the other 5? He's like 20.
He's a top prospect, Chris.
I understand that. Okay, I understand that. But
so you gonna tell a top 5 prospect get your degree?
What team are you going to? Washington? Have fun, Buffalo.
They need a bank too. They just let go. They let Gafford go to the Mavs.